I want to just talk a little bit about how Solomon justified himself by works. In Ecclesiastes, in my opinion, you have his autobiography. You have him looking back at the end of his life when, as the historical records say, his wives had turned away his heart from Yahweh. He had lost his faith in God, and he's got nothing really to look forward to. He has done everything that a man could do in this life, and that is not fulfilling. And he looks back in Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, particularly chapter 1, and he describes all the things he's done. He clearly was a very active person. He was not lazy by nature. He was active. Some people are, I think, wired lazy, and other people are wired hardworking and diligent and active and have initiative and want to do things. And he was one of those people. He was wired like that. And when you read the Proverbs are true. All of them are true as far as they go and inspired by God. And yet, that is not to say that Solomon does not also have his personal agenda in them, because all through the Proverbs, I mean, in almost every chapter, he is mocking the lazy one, or as the AV will have it, the sluggard. He mocks lazy people. He mocks them, because he himself is by nature not like that, as we see, as I say, in Ecclesiastes. Now, the problem with that is that he's really saying that he's justified by works. And this comes out all the way through Proverbs. I mean, take even Proverbs 30, when he starts talking about the animals. He praises some animals for being hardworking and mocks those that he thinks are lazy. He says, for example, Proverbs 30, 25, the ants aren't a strong people, but they provide their food in summer. And he seems to blame poverty in the Proverbs upon a lack of a sort of a hard work ethic. And again, it is all true, but it also reflects his justification by works. He says the conies or rock badgers or even rabbits, the Septuagint says, are a feeble folk, but they make their palaces in the rocks. I guess he's talking about the rock badgers. And of course, he had built his palaces. As he explains in Ecclesiastes 1, he loved building, and he had a palace up in the Lebanon mountains, as it were, carved in the mountains. And he's saying, yep, well, good old rock badgers, they're very hardworking and zealous like me. But in the end, he loses his faith, doesn't he? His wives turn away his heart, and he is left a nobody when it comes to spiritual things. And I think of all the brethren I've worked with down the years, been very close to them here or there, at a certain point in time in our lives, who now don't believe. And people say, oh, what a shame. He was such a hard worker. And indeed he was. And I knew that. And I'm not talking about one or two people. I'm talking about quite a lot of people. I can think back over the years of the decades and remember. They were hard workers, but now they don't believe. Can you see what I'm saying? I'm drawing the conclusion that sure, they were hard workers because that's how they were by nature. But they didn't believe. And so when now they don't believe, you sort of think, well, maybe they never did. Of course, we're not the judges of human hearts. Who knows? Only God will do that, and he will do so with grace. But maybe that's the thing, that all the hard work was, in fact, to cover a lack of basic faith in grace. Although that would have all been on an unconscious level, I suppose. Now, as I say, from Ecclesiastes 1, Solomon was a really active, hard-working person. And he talks about all these things he built. And we think of how he built God's house, God's temple. Spent 7 years building it, making it absolutely the most fantastic temple, etc. And yet, he did all that service to God only because it was reinforcing his own personality type, because it was actually what he naturally wanted to do in a secular sense. It's like maybe the woman who loves entertaining might say, oh yeah, I'm serving the Lord, I'm entertaining the church visitors, because that's what she likes doing anyway. The young guy who loves traveling may say, oh yeah, I'm off on a mission trip to Nepal, or I'm off on a mission trip to some tropical island. Yeah, you're on a mission trip, but you've got your own agenda, right? And this is what you naturally would like to do. Now, you could say, yeah, well, we're given talents that we have to use. Well, I think that's a bit of a misreading of the parable. The talents that are given, according to the AV, are not talents as in abilities, they're weights. A talent was a weight. You're given something, and you are to use that. Now, that may or may not be in the areas of your natural, as you see it, talents. Because we're asked to pick up a cross and follow Jesus, not simply get on and live the life that we'd like to live anyway, in a secular, unbelieving sense, but just mask it over as, oh yeah, this is all service to God. People say, oh yeah, I'm going to make lots of money so I can serve the Lord later on in my life. And they spend their life enjoying, it seems, running businesses and making money, and, well, they never actually quite get round to doing what they may intend to do or said they intended to do. The point is that we are not to serve God just as Solomon did, just reinforcing your own native personality type, but we are to follow the lead of the Spirit wherever we are led. And that may lead you to washing toilets, cleaning up toilets in a soup kitchen after 100 derelict people have been in them, with the smell and all the rest of it. And that may not be what you think is your natural calling or personality type, and I don't suppose it is anyone's natural calling. And so we've got to be careful also that we don't get involved in arguing about God's truth, about the interpretation of the Bible with those who differ from us, just as a means of riding our own ego. In other words, some people who seem to love being involved in debate and argument and proving themselves right and other people wrong, if they weren't Christians, if they weren't believers, they'd probably be involved in that kind of behaviour in some other context, maybe in a scientific context or a political context, maybe they'd be in a politics or science or something, whereby they could also argue their point, prove other people wrong, and demonstrate the truth of their pet theories. You've got to be careful that you don't get involved in, quote, preaching or evangelism when it's really just reinforcing your own natural desire to win an argument. In the end, we are called to follow Jesus, and our native personality types are not particularly similar to his. And it is all a case of us being the stones of the future temple that are being chipped away at. And that is a painful process, but we are being developed. We are to grow. And you won't grow by just doing what you want in a totally undisciplined sense, with no sense of mission that, well, I'm called to do this. Well, whatever it takes, whether I like it or not, whether it suits me or not, that is my aim and that is what I must do and put up with whatever to that end. We are his soldiers. We are his servants. We are called to be his and to follow his will and not our own will.